I'm Riley Reese. This is the Sophia Unfiltered podcast, where we bring together thought leaders, wellness entrepreneurs, makers, and emerging health leaders. We're here to have raw, unfiltered conversations because sharing your stories has the power to change lives, help others heal, and transform the way we take care of ourselves. Here we go.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Sophia Unfiltered. Michelle and Riley with you today. And today we are talking to Dr. Kara Alexander. Dr. Kara Alexander is a licensed acupuncturist, nutritionist, and Eastern medicine doctor with over 20 years of experience in blending Eastern and Western medical principles. Her expertise spans various modalities, including acupuncture, nutrition, and trauma healing, integrating these practices to create personalized patient protocols. Her focus on addressing the root causes of injuries, mental, emotional, physical, and dietary, underscores her mission to promote overall wellness and peak performance. Driven by a commitment to holistic healing and balanced energy, she aims to guide individuals toward a heart-centered and harmonious life path. Welcome, Dr. Kara Alexander.
Hi, ladies. Thanks for the intro.
Thanks so much for being with us today.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So for our listeners who don't know who you are yet, could you tell us a little bit about your background and how you found your way into all things holistic healing?
I have been interested since I was a little girl. At 9 years old, I was just I'd eat a box of crackers and see how it would affect my body and whether or not I would get constipated, whether I'd have energy. And I've always just been very curious like that. And when I went to college, I was pre-med and I actually didn't like it at all because I felt it lacked the interpersonal experience. And then it lacked like how we are and what we're doing on an everyday basis. At that time, my mom was actually diagnosed with breast cancer as well. So she wanted to become vegan and she was terrified of becoming vegan because she was a meat and potatoes person. So for me, I'd always been vegetarian for the most part. I ate meat sometimes. But then I was like, oh, I'll do it with you. And then it was kind of on that path that started this journey for me. Even though I had stomach aches when I was 3 really badly, and I had stomach aches when I was about 8, like 15. And both of those correlated with my father leaving, which was like I thought maybe it was what I was eating, but it also correlated with emotions. So I was wanting to explore what happened, what goes on with the body. And the cleaner I could be, the more healthy I thought I could be. So when I became vegan, I started to see my body change completely, and it affected how I felt emotionally and how my cycle was, how my body was. I've broken 9 bones, and I think 7 of them were during that time. So it really impacted me and how my body was performing. So when I was studying pre-med, I realized that it just wasn't the right path for me because it lacks that interpersonal experience. So I wanted something that was what is happening to our bodies. So I got into environmental studies and public policy and was looking into kinesiology as well. And what I found out is how our environment affects us so much, from water pollutants to what's happening with deforestation, what's happening with trash, like all these things impact our bodies. And when I left school, I did a campaign training in Seattle, Washington. I did that for a week, and I worked on a campaign in Colorado, which was about Coloradans for Responsible Growth. And I wanted to get out there and get the vote out, help people understand what was going on in the environment. And what I found out is I worked really long hours for no pay. And I found that it wasn't necessarily as part of like where our growth was on the whole, even though it was important, is what's our growth as a human being and how is it affecting our health and how does that reverberate out? So if we're healthy, if we're making healthy choices, we're going to want healthier experiences. It's going to be natural for us. So then I started studying nutrition and I became a cook in a kitchen for many years. I studied in Italy. I went over there and studied food. And then I saw how food affected my gut as well. Then my dad got sick and I was working in lighting at the time and the economy crashed and I couldn't sell one light bulb. And then I saw my dad go into a healthcare facility. So sad, but he was pretty much a strong, virile man. He's very smart, but he had all of a sudden this instant dementia. So we thought he had a brain tumor. So we basically put him in a home, found out it wasn't a brain tumor. He just had a series of strokes. But then he passed a year later being in this care facility where they basically drugged him up for an entire year. So we went in a strong man and basically died after a year. And I saw all sorts of different rashes and body symptoms. And we were trying to get him off of these prescriptions. And it was just this quick demise of like this great man. And all of a sudden he was being diagnosed with schizophrenia. It was horrible. And because I couldn't sell a light bulb at that time, I was like, what am I going to do? So I'd always wanted to study Eastern medicine. And at that point, it was a pillar that I grabbed onto. I was like, I need to study this. I can't watch anyone else go through something like this and not have answers. So then going back, as I started to get into this medicine, it opened up this entire world for me because I started to see things like my period shift, my health started to shift. I had eczema since I was a little girl. I had dandruff. I had those broken bones. And then being vegan, I saw all these symptoms pop up. Like I had a really swollen tongue. I was super pale. I didn't have a period for 3 months. My memory was affected. So I started to see how food really affects us. Good water, how it really affects us, how the environments we are in truly affect us, how our immune system goes down, and how do we heal from these types of events. So through my personal experiences and then diving into this medicine, it was like, how do I heal my heart? How do I heal like what choices I want to make? How do I heal what's going on with my body and my symptoms? And then I wanted to share that information with other people, especially women. You know, we're not given any sort of advice about what's going on with our periods. We're sort of like, this is what you have, this is what you're stuck with, and this is what you're going to deal with. When in fact, we are contributing to what's happening in our cycles. And our PMS basically is a roadmap to understanding how we're treating our body. So if we have really bad digestive issues, then what are we eating before we get to that PMS, right? If we have breast pain, which is actually stress, right? If we're really bad and stressed out, we get breast tenderness. So how can we relieve that stress in the first 3 weeks of our cycle? If we're having really bad headaches, like that means that we're not getting enough movement. If we don't have enough movement in the body, the pressure builds and pressure rises, which causes headaches. And that happens a lot during PMS. So all these different signs and symptoms will affect us based on what our personal journey is and what we're going through. So that's a long-winded answer of how I got into this medicine, but it continues to stretch into it just because I'm so fascinated by healing. And as we pull back those layers, it becomes more and more layers of just not what is going on for us symptomatically, but what we're experiencing emotionally. And the more that we can get pain out of the way, the more that we can see clearly on our path of what our soul contract is and what we want to contribute in the planet. So I feel like it's a huge contributing factor to helping us, you know, basically bring a more positive experience for everyone. If we're in pain, it's hard to be happy. It's hard to be around people. So the more that we can heal that, the more that we can come from a centered place.
Wow. Well, you really do embody this holistic health. You've got so much knowledge in so many different areas. And I'm just curious, when somebody first comes in to see you, what is the lens that you're looking through? Like, what are those things that you're evaluating, those kind of categories where you're asking questions and checking boxes? Like, how are you looking at somebody?
Well, first I have them fill out a questionnaire. What types of symptoms are they experiencing now in the last 6 months? Things that they've worried about? What's their diet like? A lot of people will say, oh, I eat healthy. And I'm like, well, if you were truly eating healthy and your life was healthy, you wouldn't be in my office, right? So trying to dissect that further, even beyond Western medicine, what Western medicine considers healthy, it's like what's happening in your individual body, which is so different from everyone else, right? We're all having different life experiences. So I have them fill out a questionnaire. And when they walk in, I can tell a lot by how loud they are, where they carry their weight, facial analysis too, so I can see where their stress factors are, what imbalances are happening. Do they have bags underneath the eyes, on top of the eyes? Are they puffy? Do they have acne? Right? I know some people hate it. They're like, are you evaluating me? And then I look at what their tongue looks like because it's a microcosm for the rest of the body. I take their pulse because we have 12 different organs in our pulses. It's not just one pulse. So then I look at what organ system has too much inflammation, what doesn't have enough fire in that organ system? So we're very big on inflammatory responses in the body, especially with Western medicine, but we don't want to kill our digestive fire, right? So we need to eat food sometimes that brings that inflammation and that fire, that inflammation, quote unquote, but that fire into our digestion. So I read what's going on with that pulse, and then I look at their body too. I'll palpate certain areas. Does it feel deficient? Does it feel full? Where is the body trapping those micro traumas that are happening consistently every day?
Wow. I'm just like, I want to go back to school right now and learn all of this. Is that what you learned in your acupuncture training or your Chinese medicine training?
I would say everything. I'd say mostly from Pacific College of Oriental Medicine. I absolutely had great training in understanding what's going on with the body. And then, you know, through understanding what's happened in my own body, because I'm so curious and I've lived in different environments, different weather patterns, I've seen my cycle change consistently with each of those, how my stress factors affect me, how they affect other people, having family members that have very different personalities, what's going on with them. So really getting analytical about it and observational about experiences and internally what I'm experiencing. So there's a lot that goes into it. And as you said, like, I continually want to go back to school and learn more. What is that? There's only so much that we can know about the body too. Everybody's a little different in how they respond, which I think is fascinating even more. Why is their body responding differently than, say, my body? You know, so yeah, curiosity.
Yeah, it's just so fascinating that you're looking at the whole person, how they're walking in, the quality of their voice, you know, their facial features, everything about them. And you're really taking that into consideration when you're treating them. It feels like it's such a different evaluation than a Western medical doctor where they're just like, here, take this drug and let's squash that. What other ways is Eastern and Western different?
Western is amazing for what it does. So it looks at person's situation basically in a static moment. It can fluctuate from there, but it's basically a static moment. What's their blood pressure in that moment, right? That's why sometimes you get your blood pressure taken. It's really high. They're like, well, are you nervous right now? You know, and then they make it go back and check it again because otherwise it's going to create more of an alarm to them that something's wrong. So they really look at something in a static moment, including your blood and lab work, right? So what's happening with you right now? But the thing is with Eastern medicine, it's not looking at it right now. We're just not right now as humans. We're changing minute by minute. Our cellular exchange is happening second by second. And then those different types of symptoms that show up. So you may go get that lab work done in a Western medical office, but you're like, wow, I feel terrible. And the doctor's like, nope, everything looks good. You can go, right? And I have patients come in. They're like, yeah, everything checks out, but I don't understand. I've got this pain. I've got this going on. I'm like, look, the fact that your lab work checked out okay is a really, really good sign because that means you're not in the red flag zone yet. But all these symptoms that you're starting to have up until that point is basically showing you what imbalances are happening and what organ system is taking over for another organ system or which one's getting fatigue. And then how can we correct that based on the four ways of healing, which would be emotional, mental, dietary, and physical? You know, do you have some sort of physical trauma that happened that's been unaddressed, right? Now it's upsetting. There's blood stagnation, scar tissue in that area. Do you have mentally, what type of stress are you under with your job? Emotionally, are you in toxic relationships? Do you not want to do talk therapy? Do you want to do talk therapy? And then dietarily, it's not one size fits all. It's not the keto diet. It's not any of those. Food should be based on what symptoms are showing up for that individual person. And Western medicine just doesn't tackle this at all. So they're going to take that lab work and go, hey, you're hypothyroid, we're going to give you a prescription. And then you go home and you do the exact same things that you were doing day in and day out. And you're not addressing those things that help the healing process. You're just putting basically a Band-Aid on it. So does it help? Yes. Is it a long-term solution? No. You know, just because those prescriptions are going to increase. And now let's say your thyroid is affected, but now your heart's affected because you were doing the same things that you were doing before. So it's going to have this catalytic response on how things respond, how your body responds.
Yeah. And I really hear you saying that every body is different. Like even people surprise you with like, oh, okay, this, I didn't expect that response or I didn't expect this to show up. I'm curious though, are there any kind of clusters of symptoms that are pretty indicative of like, oh, I know what this is when people start talking about something when they come in, or what's the most common type of thing that you're seeing in your office?
I see a lot of issues related to diet and dietary problems. It doesn't necessarily mean someone has digestive issues. It just means it's related to your diet. But a lot of people come in, I think it's 70% of people have constipation, and then they have signs and symptoms that go along with that, chronic fatigue. So if your digestion is slow and your poop is going through there slow, guess what? You're slow and you don't have the energy to do it as well. So, and for people that have been going and going and going and going, we think we're just these energizer bunnies that aren't going to be affected by our lifestyle and that we're just going to have this max energy all the time. Well, sometimes our body tells us in this little kind of secretive way, hey, you're starting to slow down. You need to go nap. You need to go take a rest. You need to stop eating those foods that are affecting this organ system that are causing that constipation or slowdown, because our gut and our brain are intricately linked, right? So if our gut isn't working properly, our brain's not going to work properly. And then we have, let's see, I see a lot of orthopedic issues, a lot of hip issues. Those are often related to diet, knee issues related to diet. I see shoulder issues. That's usually related to some sort of blood issue that's going on. Headaches, I see a ton of headaches and dizziness. People that have vertigo. And there's usually most consistently in some sort of emotional or mental connection with that. And it's often related to some sort of trauma that I don't know about, but I know that it's connected with it. Where in your past, what's happened to you that we're going to, get underneath this and find out what's going on? Because our body, if we don't address pain and problems, the pain and problems get worse. That's just how it goes. When we're in a relationship and you're like, I really hate how my husband doesn't clean out the sink, but I don't say anything to him, right? And so every time he does it, all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, I hate that man. Like it gets louder until we have these outbursts, right? So the same thing happens in our body. When we have that trauma, we have that stagnation, the blood issues that start to problem, they start to proliferate and other issues start to happen. It becomes this downward part of the channel that moves upward into the organs. And the body's super smart because it tries to protect the organ system first. If the organs aren't working properly, then you can die and have bigger problems. So it kind of hides trauma in different parts of the body. So it's very tricky. So with Eastern medicine, through thousands of years of research, we saw different types of trends that happen. So someone that has some sort of spleen or digestive issues is going to have things that relate down that channel, right? The knee pain, the hip pain. If you have liver issues, you're going to have more headaches, red eyes, pale face, dry lips. But it depends on if you're running deficiently or in excess. It really just depends. Did I answer that?
Yeah, you did. And I'm really hearing what I love about this is I really hear how the patient is empowered to heal themselves. So it's really a team approach. It's like, okay, I'm going to advise you on what supplements or what foods to eat or what not to eat, what behaviors to engage in, to address the emotional issues. And then you've got some physical things that you're doing too with the acupuncture to help facilitate that process. And I was curious about how acupuncture works and how it can support all of this. Like when you're talking about deficient organs or in excess, like how does acupuncture help people heal?
So because we have different signs and symptoms throughout the different channel systems, we have 12, and those symptoms will show up along those channel systems depending on what organ system is being involved, we'll use acupuncture needles in certain points. And then that, when we put the needle in, it causes a microabrasion to that area, which then signals the brain, hey, we have some trauma here. We need to send some fresh blood and nutrients. And then the healing starts to happen within that channel system. So whether it's, you have a dietary issue, you're going to have symptoms, or whether you broke your leg or whatever it might be, the result is the same. It's a micro trauma with the needle, go in and heal the area, release the stagnation, and then help the healing process. The body's really on our side. It's constantly trying to heal what we're doing. We're just helping support that.
Does it hurt? I know there's a lot of people that are needle phobic that are like, oh, I don't know about that. I mean, it seems like the benefits are so great, but like, what if you're just like, I don't do needles?
Oh, so many people. I had a friend, actually, he was having terrible neck and back pain. And I was like, will you just come in, come get some needles, come get some acupuncture. He's like, Kara, don't tell anyone, but I'm just terrified of needles. I don't want to get needles. And finally, after a year of dealing with this pain, he came in, which is usually often what happens to people. They're like, I'm just so fed up with the pain, you know, with anything across our life, right? I can't take it anymore. I'll do whatever. And so he came in to get that acupuncture session. And he was like, that's it. That's what it feels like. That doesn't even hurt, you know? So, and then he was like, I went into this sort of meditative state for a half hour, 45 minutes where I fell asleep. It was the most relaxing part of my day. And then he couldn't wait to come in and get his acupuncture after that. So they're extremely tiny. They're, you know, they're about the thickness of hair, depending on what, you know, what needle gauge one is using, depending on what they're doing. If they're really having to break up scar tissue, yeah, it's going to be a thicker gauge. But for the most part, it's very thin. You wouldn't even notice it happens.
Yeah, I wish we could call it something different than a needle, like acupuncture kisses or something.
Touched with love.
Yeah, touched with love, a little of that. Yeah, I think the word needle scares a lot of people off.
It does.
And does it vary, do you think, from practitioner to practitioner? Like, is it always gentle or... does it have to do with the touch too?
It has to do with the style, the touch, the practitioner, what you're trying to achieve, what the pattern that they have going on. All of those play a role. How long does someone wait to come in and get acupuncture? Then it might be more intense, right, than someone who's coming in more routinely. And it's a lot more gentle or feels that way. Where a woman is on her cycle, you know, whether her skin is much more sensitive versus not. Yeah, it definitely changes. I tend to be more light touch. Some people are like, I don't even notice the needles at all. And I don't like to inflict pain on my patients. They're coming in to release pain. So I always feel like, you know, let's be gentle on the body. The body's gone through enough. That's my thought process going into it. And I like it in school too, because they tell us not to treat friends or family. And it's true, because you go into the, like, almost this fear factor going into treating someone you care about. Like, you don't want to hurt them. We have to take that out, that emotional part out. That's why it's easier to treat patients you don't know, because you're like, I know it's not going to hurt them, and I know they're going to get the healing result that they need. Versus if you're hesitating in life, like, you know, does it work out when we hesitate? No, you know. So it just really depends on why, how, where, who, whether or not it's going to feel good or not.
Now, Kara, I'm a big believer of acupuncture, and I've gotten it a lot for my neck and back pain. But for those of us listening, you know, what should they expect after a session? Should they feel better? Should I come once a week? What have you seen in there?
Again, it varies depending on what they have going on. But I mean, I had a patient last week. She's like, I could not breathe. She had so much congestion. And in the actual session, she's like, I can breathe again. Thank you so much. Right. I had knee pain. This is one of the beginning reasons I went into it, besides digestion, was I couldn't shift gears with my clutch in my left leg at all. It hurts with so much pain, and nothing had happened. I'd gotten scans. The first three treatments didn't do anything, nothing. In fact, to the point I was like, does this work? Right. And then by the fourth treatment, she's like, well, maybe you need to see an orthopedic surgeon. She's like, I'm like, no, what else is in your bag of goodies? And so she did some E-stem on it, and I'd never had any pain again. That was it. Fourth treatment, gone. Nothing. You know, and that was 20 years ago. So it's pretty remarkable, to the point I couldn't even shift gears. So it just depends. Usually they say the amount of time that you've had the injury is how many sessions that you need. But it can vary.
The amount of time, meaning like the amount of days or weeks?
Yeah, sorry.
Wait a minute.
Sometimes the amount of years or the amount of months is how long you've had it, the basically how many sessions you might need. I think it's years. I honestly think it's all across the board. It really can be one shot and it's done and people don't have the pain. I'm always like, oh my gosh, I didn't see them again. And then I see them like a year later and they're like, yeah, that one treatment worked. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so exciting, because everybody's different, you know?
Yeah, that's really fun to know that it works, know how it works, but still feel that magic every time it does work. Like, it's wonderful to see people heal and to know that you're part of an agent of that change.
Yes, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, especially just having solutions, I think, is the best. And just not to give up on that pain, not to just like give into it, because knowing that there are answers out there. I know for you too, as well as myself, like, I've been in a major ditch physically and emotionally and mentally, and wondering what is going on. Am I going to live with this for the rest of my life? And then to find out there are solutions, and oh my gosh, I feel 100% better. And I now feel 5 years younger versus I was feeling 20 years older. So it's just not to give up on oneself and to make sure, like, I may not be the right practitioner for some people, but I know how powerful this medicine is, you know? And so if I'm not right, the right doctor, then go see another acupuncturist, or maybe it's incorporating the chiropractic work with it, you know, and in the conjunction, that's going to help the healing process. It's really listening to oneself and getting back in tune with our bodies and our minds and our hearts and what's working for us. And then to dive into that, as well as dive into our pain, you know, and not to avoid both. Otherwise, we're going to be stuck where we are.
Dr. Kara, I know we're talking about how we're using acupuncture for pain, and I'll be signing up for more for my knee as well on the years of running. I don't know why I haven't done that sooner, but this is going to be broad, but either what conditions can acupuncture be used to treat? And I guess my follow-up is, can we use it preventatively?
Oh, it's all about preventative, and it's all about helping solve pain too. So preventatively, you know, it's getting off the trajectory that we're on and going towards, and then redirecting it. So then we're in a place of healing versus heading towards more pain and problems. So preventative, absolutely that way. Even if you're like, people are like, oh, I don't have any issues. I'm like, it's impossible to go through life without micro traumas or massive traumas, right? So where you may have felt great after your car accident and being rear-ended, and you're like, okay, for the first 4 weeks, I was in a lot of pain, but now I'm fine, and you didn't do any alternative care, like eventually 20 years down the road, that can show up, right? So it's addressing that pain ahead of time, and that it's a good preventative. And then what was the other one besides preventative? What did you ask me?
So we're spending a lot of time talking about the pain, but I know it's also infertility, right? It can be used for. So what are some of these other symptoms that can kind of help that may not just be extreme pain?
Okay. So certain things like infertility is a great one. So when we have a lot of women that have miscarriages, let's just say start with that one. So the miscarriages happen within the 3 months. It's usually digestively related. So what can we help with digestion? There's not necessarily wrong. A lot of women think their bodies are failing them, or they're failing being a mom, which is just tough. And there aren't answers for it necessarily. Then women experience a miscarriage during their second trimester, and that's usually associated with the kidneys. So acupuncture can help support and boost digestion for the first trimester, and then the kidneys in that second trimester. It doesn't mean there's something wrong with the organ system. It just means it's out of balance. So our bodies naturally, in an archaic way, want to be able to produce a baby. So the closest way, the closest that we can get to that, whether we want to produce one or not, the better that we're going to perform on a daily basis. So that's our ultimate goal. And just this archaic way is, how can we be in our optimal performance is when we're in our baby making mode, you know? So it helps women and men on a daily basis getting acupuncture, because it keeps those organ systems in balance. So you can do a lot of different things. It can help, and it doesn't have to be pain, like, you know, dandruff. I thought I just had dandruff forever, and turns out I just had a digestive imbalance. I didn't want dandruff. That's not pain. I mean, like, it's not great. It's painful when you're like, oh my gosh, but, you know, still it's like, it's not fun to have. So there's lots of adjustments that acupuncture can do that don't necessarily relate to pain at all, actually. That's why a lot of people don't come in knowing that they might need it.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I was trying to get, help our listeners and give them some ideas. You know, I know acupuncture can really do anything. And, you know, from what I've seen on the diagrams on the walls. And so I was just like, let's give them some ideas of what it can be, you know, the power behind it. And I think those are really great examples.
Oh, yeah. Bad breath, bad BO, right? You can have weight gain. And your weight gain, where you gain your weight, has a lot to do with what organ system is out of balance. So it can help with that. Dry eyes, bad vision, poor night vision, you know, heart palpitations, anxiety, anger, feeling cold, feeling too warm, back acne. I mean, it really can be hemorrhoids. It can help with neuropathy, different types of cancers. It can help with coordination as well. So it can ADD, ADHD. It can help with elbow pain. I mean, really tennis elbow. It's really just, it's pretty comprehensive. It can help with a common flu and cold, and some acupuncturists are better at than that. I'm not. That's not my sweet spot, is helping someone with a cold. But mine is helping with long-term internal issues that are going on that are expressing themselves in everyday symptoms. That's kind of my sweet spot is what I have in helping women's health. And I think especially too for people like Western nutrition and medicine really like touts this as having like eat this healthy diet, exercise a bunch, and then you're going to be good. And it's like, no, actually, I was a huge runner too. And to see the effects on my body were very detrimental. And here I thought I was being healthy and I thought I was being vegetarian and vegan was being healthy. And I was just driving myself into the ground. And it's really listening to those signs and symptoms where if it's not pain, what's showing up that's telling you that there is a problem. And again, not necessarily a problem, just an imbalance. And we're not educated in that way. And it's unfortunate. Yeah.
Kara, how many symptoms can you treat in one session?
Well, we usually tackle it as like a chief complaint and then a second chief complaint, because really we can start like, you know, with a whole slew of things going on. But it really depends if it's on one organ system. So if you have the digestion one, you can have bruising, right? You can have bloated, gassy, fatigue, tired, need to take naps, water retention. What else is in there? Can't focus, can't concentrate, overthinking, ruminating on issues. That's one organ system. So you could tackle all those symptoms just hitting that one organ system.
I was like, how many needles can you take, Riley? I picture you like a pincushion. You're like...
Well, that's fun too, because orthopedically, usually we add more needles depending on what we're addressing. But, you know, I had a practitioner and teacher, and she was amazing. She's like, treat the person with less than 5 needles. And there is a really famous acupuncturist out there. I don't remember his name, but he uses 1 needle to treat the body. 1. I mean, that sounds magic right there. I don't know. That sounds like a root... That like seems like you're seeing the body in just multiple dimensions just with your plain eyes. I don't know how that's even possible personally.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. No, I'd be happy to take a couple just to hit all the points. I'm curious for our listeners that might have their interest peak now, like, okay, maybe acupuncture, like I want to get in on a little bit of this magic. What should they be looking for in terms of training, experience? Like, could you give them kind of a guide when they're, because there's a lot of people, if you just look online, it would be hard to sift through. So what are we looking for when we look for an acupuncturist or holistic medicine?
Again, it's going to vary as your suggesting what one might need. And it's asking the questions, what's your specialty? So as acupuncturists on the whole, we're taught to be general practitioners. However, we quickly find out what our sweet spot is. Is it orthopedic, you know, body aches and pains? Is it more digestion? Is it emotional trauma? You might have an acupuncturist that doesn't say one word to you, and that might be perfect treatment for you versus me. I like to communicate. Hey, this is what I see. This is what I see your body going through. This is the trajectory you're on. I like to have a conversation with individuals to tell them what to experience now and into the future based on what they're doing, what's presenting in their body. So some people may not want all that talking. So it's really go to one practitioner, try it out, see if the relationship makes sense. I feel like individuals are usually with Western medicine more trusting for some reason, even with a Western medical doctor that they may or may not like. They usually like to find someone they like. They're like, I want to go to a general practitioner that I like. But when it comes to Eastern medicine, for some reason, they're like, I didn't really like them, so I didn't really go again, or I didn't find someone else, or Eastern medicine's weird, right? So it's like they need to really, individuals like, okay, find the person that you resonate with that may have similar issues or specialize in the problems that you have going on. And then it's not just one usually alternative medicine, like an acupuncturist. Usually people need, you know, an osteopath if they've got a certain issue. They need chiropractic work at the same time, because healing is, again, it's not looking at lab work and getting a prescription. It's how are you where you are and what different types of alternative therapy do you need? There's muscles involved. There's bones involved. There's, you know, there's blood stagnation. So you might need a chiropractor because you move some vertebrae a little bit slightly in that accident. You also need an acupuncturist to help relax those muscles around those bones so it doesn't pull the bones. You know, the bones don't pull the muscles. It's the muscles pulling the bones. And then you might need some osteopath to reorganize the body and rebalance the body in a different way so it kind of gets out of that trauma. So there's multiple ways to tackle a situation of what someone might be going through. And it's finding that team of alternative medicine doctors. Some people are great with one. Personally, I have like 11, you know, depending on what issues I have going on. Do I have a headache today? And do I, am I emotionally just like, you know, or do I want to punch someone? Then I need to go get a massage type of thing. So it's really like opening up to the different type of alternative medicine doctors. And then also, you know, backing it up with Western medicine. It helps honestly relieve a lot of people's stress, which is going, okay, my lab work checked out okay, right? Or, oh, my vertebrae L4 is, you know, slightly moved or it's slightly bulging. People need that diagnosis to go with it to understand what's happening in their body and sometimes to seek different alternative doctors or different Western medical doctors. So it's like keep searching until you find your comfort zone, I would say.
Is there any type of certification or license to look for that, right? Can you practice without a license? So any guidance in that way?
No, you definitely need a California board, acupuncture board. I have to. It's the California board that has it for our license here in California. We're required to take a different test and examination for it to receive it. So you have to keep that active. Every 2 years, we have to renew it and we have to take continuing education courses to continue that license. So we're constantly updating our education. And then if you have a national license, I do. We don't all need it in California, but then I can practice in varying states. And some states require, like New Jersey, they require a separate license, and Florida requires a separate license. Nutrition-wise, I've been to two different nutrition schools. Some want a certified clinical nutritionist, which is what I am, but sometimes it's more Western-based nutrition, which I've studied. I don't have the certification necessarily for it, but it's just not my bag, so... Some people require those little letters after your name. Some people don't. So it just depends.
Yeah. And I hear you talking about the quality of the relationship too, which I know at least for psychotherapy, you know, the number one predictor of success in therapy is how you feel about your therapist, not what their qualifications are, what they've studied, but it's the quality of your relationship together. And I think you're right. I mean, even if somebody was like the top of their field, if I just didn't jive with them or if I didn't feel safe with them, I know that my body is not really going to be willing to receive those treatments in the best way. So I think that's good.
Yeah. And if we have those titles after our name and we spent all those years in school, how much clinical work did we do that we're relating to actual patients? So it's like really what's the best method in treating your patients? I had he was a doctor that I had seen for various things, but he said, we're not necessarily smarter than, we've just taken one more class than another person, right? Or we've just looked at one more book, and it's how much education experience that we're willing to absorb to be able to redish it out.
You know, I think you mentioned something earlier. You said, you know, we go to our Western medicine, we want to like the person, but on Eastern medicine, people are like, oh, that's weird. Go, you know, I'm done with this. Why do you think this is getting this rap? Like, what's going on?
I don't think we have enough time for this one.
Yeah, I want our listeners to hear if they're like, I'm not into this. It's not my thing. This is too weird or woo-woo. You know, what would you tell them to really?
Well, I think it's in some senses, and I'm going to do a broad stroke on this, and some people probably disagree with this, but it's, you know, if we're getting lab work, we're getting concrete information. But for some reason, symptoms don't seem like concrete information to people but yet they are. You know, our body tells a doctor what's going on, especially an alternative medicine doctor. It's like, okay, you have an inflammatory response. Absolutely, go get the blood work, make sure everything checks out at an organ level, right? But I can see right now that it may just be, it's there, but it's going that trajectory if you continue to keep going. So that's why I think that people think it's more like hypothetical, is because we don't necessarily have the lab work behind it, even though I don't know if they don't trust their symptoms. They're like, no big deal. Just put some chapstick or some cream on, or you know, I'll, I don't know, stop drinking coffee for 7 days or something like that. And they think it's fine. But really, honestly, our body is telling us what way and what direction that we're going to help ourselves and help empower ourselves. I think that Western medicine is so advanced for something that's very chronic, you know, or something that acutely happens. You break your arm, an acupuncturist, I can't reset a bone. You know, for me personally, I can't. But you go into Western medical doctor, they put a cast to reset the bone. It's a different healing process. Right? And it doesn't happen like that. You take prescriptions, you see an immediate effect for the most part. So I think people want that quick fix. And when medicine was created by men, and men usually have if A to get to B the fastest, take out the emotion of it, don't change any direction. How can I get this done the fastest and the most efficient without really emotionally on it at all? I know I just want to think about the result, and the result is this. And I think as we're going to progress and evolve, and is that we're going to find out that our healing journey is much more than just getting from A to B quickly like that. It's not, we're not built like that, right? We're still, every day we have to make those changes and those commitments to ourselves in the healing process. So I think it's just getting comfortable with the discomfort, getting comfortable with how long it takes to naturally heal. And it isn't a quick pill and fix. And people do not necessarily want to look at themselves and go, I'm the one to blame for what I'm doing. They don't want to get into that. They want to be like, oh, like, you know, my kidney failed me and that's just how it is. Or it's like, no, like you participated in where you got to. And that means you need to participate to get out of it. So I think that has a lot to do with it. And then, you know, as women, as we can, women and men just think differently. And I think as women continue to incorporate themselves in this medicine and Eastern medicine, whether man or woman or whatever, like start to come in, it starts to become more like people understand the medicine better, then we'll become more integrated and we'll see that we need both if you want to have a healthy lifestyle and feel good and perform optimally.
Yeah, absolutely. But I wonder if we're also just used to the, you go to your doctor, you get your lab work and you go home. I remember the first time when I went to an acupuncturist, he was like doing the pulse and he was asking me all these questions. And I was like, why do you need all this information? To the point where, you know, asking about stress, day, job, the whole thing. And I was like, why do you need this information? You know, so I wonder if it's just such a different experience. We're really not used to it.
Yeah, I think it's foreign for sure, you know, and I think that our insurance companies don't cover it either. That's a huge one. Some do. They're starting to more, right? And people don't want to pay out of pocket for it, especially after, you know, 3 sessions of acupuncture that didn't do anything to my knee. It took that 4th one for my knee to go, okay, I'm back in, right? I'm back in the game. But if, you know, now I have to pay out of pocket for that. But if people are like have their insurance that pays for these things, I think people would be more interested in going, does this help? But it's on such slight levels too. I've got my brother actually was telling me last night, he's seeing a chiropractor and he's like, I don't know, I think it's helping. You know, and it's just, it's this like, it's a slow reconnection with our body. And until we dive into alternative health, like I wasn't as in tune with my emotions and what foods affected me until I got into it. When I have patients and be like, okay, you probably have this symptom too. And they're like, no. And then they come back and see me and they're like, you know what? I had that symptom. I didn't even realize I was going through that. So it's connecting us back with our bodies, connecting us back with ourselves, and instead of leaving it in the other hand, in the hands of others to really solve, it's going, okay, what's my personal empowerment involvement here? Did I answer that? I get so excited about talking about this stuff. So, but yeah, I do think that we're going to be seeing more of an integrated approach as time passes, for sure, where people will start to understand those different techniques of pulse taking. And this is why I like to talk about it. This is what your body is showing. You know, you got a microcosm in your ear. You can see the whole body right in the ear and different things that pop up, right, of where stagnation or pain might be. And then your tongue too, and then different symptoms that have, or the eye. How is the eye functioning, right? Is there those little white dots or a red spot? Like all of those say things to what's happening internally, and we tend to discount those because they've been muddled. You know, here's eye drops. You know, you have earwax. Like you just have earwax. No, you're producing that earwax. Why are you producing so much of it? You know, and to look at what we're eating or doing in our lives that's contributing to that.
I hear this and I just don't know who wouldn't want to see an acupuncturist every month. I think it should absolutely be covered because, you know, like you mentioned, if you have so much insight in looking at us, and I know you know, I think when you go into acupuncture, I mean, I'm usually in there for about an hour, maybe hour 15 minutes. And if you think about that time with that doctor, I mean, that's really unheard of amounts of time when somebody gets to put all their attention on you and healing. And so, okay, we know you can go in and get the acupuncture and the needles, but I know there's a lot more in a session. So are you leaving them with supplements or plans of eating? What else? What else are you, what else do they get out of these sessions?
I usually review posture, what's going on with their posture. We tend to, you know, every day we go and work on our computers, we crunch our shoulders forward, right? Now this creates different type. I know you're still, we're sitting up straight as we talk about it, right? Because you're affecting those muscle bellies, right? And then you're affecting our communication channels, and then you're affecting what's happening in the brain, and all of those are linked to the spine, which then are linked to organs. And then, so it's like all of it's connected. And then, so I usually do posture. If I see something like someone's got a right shoulder forward, like let's work on getting that back based on what they're doing. And usually if right shoulder's forward, their left hip is compensating the opposite way so they can walk straight in life, right? And then it's very subtle and their body's just responding to what we're doing. And then sometimes now you throw in like the diet might be eating a bunch of bread and sugars or whatever, and now you've got one leg shorter because the body is responding that way. So now you're a little off, right? So I go into and go, okay, let's take these foods out so it stops affecting your hips and your digestion, right? Let's work on getting the posture. Let's relax those muscles. And then, you know, look at releasing some of that stress in your life that have you crunched and have you doing that. Go walk in nature, go find more joy and experiences that can balance that out. If you're constantly living in balance or out of balance or one way, it's not even out of balance. If you're constantly living one way, then you need to do the opposite of what you're doing to help offset that, right? And so when people come in, I look at their diet, their posture. I might give exercises. I might look at what ways the brain is firing as far as muscles. So if you're doing one movement, how can I adjust to remind the brain, no, no, fire this muscle, not this muscle, because this muscle can be out of, it just got, it took over at some point because there was either some traumatic injury or you're walking one leg just slightly shorter, right? So you have to bring that body back in balance. So there's a lot of different ways that I tackle it. I try and stay away from vitamins, to be honest. People get hooked on vitamins. They're taking the same vitamins for 18 years. And now it's like, okay, the liver and the kidneys have to process all of that. Now you're making your liver detox more, and now you're showing signs of, you know, liver like constipation, basically. So let's take those out. So if food is more healing and people can understand what's happening in their body, we can support it through food and then get the right exercise. It's not always running like crazy. It might be yoga. So I might suggest then stop running, stop, you know, like go to yoga, you know, and it takes a conversation, multiple conversations sometimes to help people understand. And that's okay, because we grab onto our vice, whether it's healthy or whether it's bad. You know, we grab onto that because we just get into these habits that helped us at one point. But now those healthy habits start to hurt us. So we just have to go back into balance constantly.
I love it. Just thinking about always finding the balance, and such a great metaphor for life. You know, you can't overdo it in any way, whether it's mental, emotional, spiritual, just moderation and finding that middle ground.
So true. So true. Made me think, oh, and it's not about being perfect either. You know, that's, I think that sometimes we strive for that and we think we're already failing, right? Okay, that I don't have the six pack, so I'm failing. And we're having those little hammers in our heads constantly. And it's more about celebrating where we are. So, you know, like I've put on, when my dad was passing, I put on 15 pounds. My dad had dementia, if you remember, and even he recognized it, which is funny. He was like, you're packing on pounds. I'm like, well, you remember that, don't you? You know, but it's like I was processing something. I had a really difficult time processing what was happening to me. And I had my digestion. I wasn't digesting what was happening. And I put on 15 pounds. And then it's like not beating myself up, but being in acceptance again with that discomfort. And when I was done, then I was ready to go again. And I lost the 15 pounds. So it's not living in this perfection. It's about accepting what our imbalances are. Why are we there? Do we want to get out of it? Do we want to move forward? And then how do we move forward, knowing what those signs and symptoms are? So it's just about self-empowerment and what our direction might be. And I feel like a lot of people come see me sometimes like, I want to lose weight. And I'm like, well, that's one byproduct. But, you know, it's like 5% of people that go on a diet stay on that diet, 5%. So what's happening? Why 95% are like not doing it, which is also super fascinating to me. You know, what kind of foods do we gravitate and why? You know, what happened to us at some point in our life where we can dissect it? And typically with acupuncture and nutritional advice, like the layers start coming, they start opening and falling off. And people go, like, people will tell me in their treatment or in the treatment room, I've never told anyone this. And this is what happened to me when I was 10 years old, you know, or 15 years old. And it's just because we're starting to remove those layers, those micro traumas in our body. And then, which I love, and it happened to me too when I went to acupuncture school, they said, get ready for your life to completely change. Boy, were they right. I had no idea. And it's because it was a dissection and analysis of myself and then a more thoughtful approach to what I wanted to create in my life, which is coming from a place of peace versus angst is what I felt before. I got to go do this. I got to do this. I was very ego driven in what I wanted to create versus I want to just be happy and peaceful. And how do I create that in my life? And how do I maintain that? So for me, diet has become much less about, like, I used to get stomach aches all the time. Do I want to be in pain and eat that? Or do I actually want to feel good for the rest of the night? Same thing with alcohol. I used to drink a lot more alcohol. Do I want to have a hangover? Is it really important for me to have that high in, you know, 2 hours and feel like absolute garbage the next day? No, I want to get up and go in the woods and feel good. And do we want to feel good is really what it is? Or do we want to put a band-aid on things? So everybody's individual, different times of our lives of when we want to crack that shell open, I think.
Well, it's so powerful. And I really hope that anybody listening right now, if this has piqued your interest and you're thinking about it, just be courageous enough to take that first step, try it out for yourself and see how your body responds. There's so much healing and wisdom to be had with holistic healing, acupuncture, and Eastern medicine. And I really want to thank you, Kara, for coming today to talk to our listeners and to share your wisdom and left us with so many good things, so much good food for thought.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I love talking about this stuff, as you can tell. So it's a fun journey, you know, it's fun.
And we always ask our guests the same 3 questions before we release them back into the wild. And the question is, what are 3 fundamental pillars of your health?
I would say the pillars for my health are a lot about how do I, well, one, diet's a huge pillar for my health. Like, where do I want to perform optimally, or do I feel like staying in bed all day? Where do I want, and what foods are going to support that for the day, right? The second one is exercise is really huge for me. And it's not about a massive sweat or going to like the edge of my performance. It's often just like the starting my day with a walk in nature with the smells and the rising sun has changed my life. I was never a morning person, and now it's like absolutely makes the entire day amazing because I start out that way. Not to say I don't get bumps in the road or people don't drive me crazy at times, but it's one way that helps me balance out that curve. And then I think lastly is friends and family and love and support and being around, bringing joy into life. And how much, in what ways can I make laughter part of it more integral? Or how do I make, okay, I need a good cry and really like diving into those motions of what I need. I need a good time tonight, or I need to watch a sad movie and just accepting that emotion with it. So those are basically my 3 pillars, I think.
Love those. And I want our listeners to know where they can find you. And I just want to give a shout out to your Instagram page. So for those listeners that maybe can't afford acupuncture right now, holistic healing, you have a wealth of information on your Instagram page. I've really enjoyed watching the video shorts that you do. I learn something every time I visit your page. So I would really love if you'd share that. And then if people want to contact you or connect with you, how can they do that?
Well, get ready then, because I'm going to do more resources. So I'm building a site. It's called PMSdoctor.com. It's to help women understand their daily symptoms and even their PMS symptoms to having more optimal health and more emotional balancing. My Instagram is Dr. It's dr.kara.alexander. And remember the Z as in zebra after the X. And then I'm going to continue building just that Instagram and my platform to kind of get these resources out. I hope to build an app that people can punch in their symptoms and get a diet that goes with it and foods that help support it versus hurt it more. So that's definitely on the horizon. out. I'm very excited to share this information for sure, but it's about to change. So I'm getting excited myself.
Oh, Dr. Kara Alexander, thank you so much for sharing your heart, your knowledge with us today. I know our listeners are going to love hearing this, and thank you for coming.
Yeah, thanks, ladies. And thank you for all you're doing, too. It's so important we share this world kind of together, right? Instead of, I don't know, it's just important that we share this information and help people heal and be more in balance. So it's very exciting what you're doing. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks so much for listening. This has been Sophia Unfiltered, a podcast by Sophia Health, the number one marketplace for health and wellness. Find services, classes, and products from the top health and wellness providers. Book an appointment or join live classes now. I'm your host, Riley Reese. If this episode resonated with you, we'd love to hear about it in the comments section of your favorite podcast provider or with a 5-star rating. Let us know what your biggest takeaway from this episode was, or share it with someone you hope to inspire. Join us again next time for more real conversations, stories, and insights that help empower you with the knowledge and inspiration needed to transform how we care for ourselves.